Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Sechtes Brachos Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Begin by the Mishnah. About 10, 12 lines, 15 lines or so from the top on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Maskirin Gevuras Geshamim B'Tchias HaMesim. The paragraph of Tchias HaMesim, as we know, we're Maskir Gevuras Geshamim. And for some reason, for those that don't know what that is, Rashi tells us Maskirin Gevuras Geshamim Mashiv Hurach Shein Olashon Bakasha El Olashon Hazkara B'Shevach. It doesn't, as in the first three paragraphs of the Shemoneh Esrei, we're not supposed to be asking Hashem for things, we're supposed to be acknowledging of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we say Masha Baruch Hu, we're not asking Hashem for rain. It's only being maskir, we're acknowledging that He is the source of this power. We'll discuss why it's in that paragraph later. It continues the Mishnah, Mishael B'Berachas Hashan. When it comes to asking for things, asking more specifically for rain, that's in B'Berachas Hashanim. That Berachas Hashanim, which as Rashi says, is Sein Tal Matar Lashon Bakasha. That, in fact, we're asking for rain. The Havdalah, when it comes to Havdalah, or more specifically, Atachanan Tanu, that is inserted Bechenin Hadoas. We'll see the reason for that, as Rashi says, B'moitzi Shavs Atachanan Tanu, we insert it in the midst of the paragraph of Bechenin Hadoas. Not everyone agrees to that. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva says, on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, concluding this Mishnah, Amr Bracha Revias Bifni Atzma. That you should say a bracha unto itself. You should have a separate bracha. Rabbi Elezer Omer, Behoida. Rabbi Elezer says that it should be said in the paragraph of Hoda of Modim. Okay. Which, of course, we know that we don't do that. We hold, like, the first opinion, that's in Chenin Hadoas. So now let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says, Maskirin Gevuras Geshamim. Now, we mentioned about rain. The question is, my timer. Why is it important to mention about rain? If we're going to be asking about rain, we'll ask Hashem for rain. Why do we have to be masking Gevuras Geshamim? So on this, the Gemara says, Rav Yosef is mitoich, shkula tchias emesim, because, I have to understand the significance of this, that when rain falls, it's comparable to tchias emesim. L'fichach, therefore, kvua b'tchias emesim. Therefore, that's why it's inserted specifically in this paragraph of Tchias HaMesim. If we think about how the ground works and how plants that they seem to die and then all of a sudden rain. Grow up, they need rain. So it's the same idea of what Tchias HaMesim ultimately will do.
Ultimately, because it also makes the we can eat. Because if we have rain, we can the crops we fertilize, and that keeps us alive.
Right.
And also drinking water. I mean, you know, and mikvahs and all the things that it provides for us.
That's chayim also. That's
right. Exactly.
Life source. Very good. So all those reasons are reasons why it's in Tchias HaMesim. Okay. Shem Berachas Hashanim. It was interesting. It says how it's shokel. It's the same. It's equal, right? Which most people would think Tchias HaMesim is obviously a huge nes. Rain, you know, it happens. We get upset when it rains. You know, it's nice when it's a sunny day. So to envision, understand that the nisim and niflaos that we read about or anticipate are miracles. But the truth is, if we view the world with a different lens and realize that the things that Hashem does for us on a continual basis is a nes, so you can say it's shokel. It's also, it's equal in that fashion. If you're able to look at the world as miraculous and the beauty of the world. Anyway, she'elu b'berachas hashan. When it comes to the asking for rain, the Sein Tal Matar, that's done in b'berachas hashanim. My taima, so this is a very practical reason. Rabbi Yosef Miteshi Parnasa, l'fika kavu b'berachas Parnasa. The bracha baruch aleinu is a bracha that we ask for Hashem to sustain us for prosperity, for success, hatzlacha. And therefore rain, which is very much connected, especially those who are farmers and engaged in agricultural cycles and the like, they would very much require rain to be able to sustain themselves.
But at that time, that was the main source of...
That was their income. That was their job.
The only source, maybe.
Right.
It wasn't a computer. But the question is, you would say, we ask, we make Berachas Geshamim, the surface cash and pray for rain, right? So So why should we have to do it every day, make a special thing with Yeshem?
So why do you say it's not fun every
season? Because we're constantly sinning. The year we make a thing, and we make a whole thing with Yeshem, and then we make a whole thing with
Talmud. That's what I got. You need it every day. Not a thing you need once a year.
But why do we make the bracha? We should just make it once every day and forget with brachas and Yeshem was during Sukkos.
But why do we begin with brachas Geshem? Why is there a concept of brachas Geshem? Tefillas Geshem, tefillas.
We ask for it every day, so you can't. Which
but
way
is they start? They do a difference. They do one before Sukkos, right?
Right.
And then we do one after
Pesach.
That's
okay. But that's also. But what's why Tal then and Geshem then? Because it went according to the seasons, what they needed.
See, Stephen, your question is why is it necessary if it's in our, just to start saying it?
Right. I mean, you say it every day, so we ask for it every day. So what is the special season? We're asking for it every day. Otherwise, you say, hey, I don't need to ask Geshem for the whole year.
Obviously, the requirement for Parnassa, and also the requirement to realize that Hashem is the source of our Parnassa, is so important that we need to initiate it by having it part of our davening in a public forum as Chazaras HaShatz. That must be part of the reason, but it's certainly worthwhile wondering. We don't do that. We don't do that by all the time.
For example, why do we say Mechayim Eisim every day? Okay, Eisim Kron has a tape on davening on Shmon Ezra, and he said the same thing. We say Mechayim Eisim. On a certain time, you should think of one tzaddik. Another time, you would think of somebody else.
Right.
It's not constantly, he says, the same thing that we're doing,
right,
wrote of every day.
Right.
Well, but most of the Chaim Mason also do it in the Mashiach time, that we resurrected and things like that, so we also want the Mashiach to come every single day. So maybe that's the concept over there also, the Chaim Mason, that we want Mashiach now,
Right.
So,
okay.
Whatever works.
Okay, let's move on. Havdalah b'chinin hadas. So the question is, why do we put Havdalah tachanan tanu moti Shabbos and chinin hadas? My time. So Rav Yosef, the Gemara gives two practical reasons. Yitayich shehi chachma, kavu b'berachas chachma. A person to be able to make a Havdalah, to be able to distinguish and decipher between two different things, you need to have a certain level of understanding and knowledge. To be able to say, this is right, this is wrong, this is Kodesh, this is Chol. So therefore, it was inserted in Berchas HaChochma, HaTochanin L'Nadas, which we're asking Hashem for knowledge, which is the first thing that we require, we ask for. Rabbanon Amri, this is kind of what the Rabbanon say, Mitoyah Shehi Chol, since HaTochanon Tanu is acknowledging it's a weekday, L'Fichach Kavu B'Berchas Chol. Therefore, we insert it at the very first opportunity to be able to acknowledge that it's a weekday. It's because the first three paragraphs are always the same, on Shabbos, whatever. So the only difference is once we get into the paragraph of Tachanun Chanan Ladam Das. Once we start saying that, it's now a weekday. So once you already start talking about a weekday, Shmon Esrei, so therefore we want to insert the Havdalah in that point. Okay. Amrav Ami. And obviously there's an inyan, as we're now going to say, the importance of das, that it's the very first thing. Gedola Deya Shinasna Batchilas Bracha Shalchol. We see the importance of having a strong, healthy mind, that it was the very first thing that we mention, we pray for in our davening. A person needs to be able to have the proper frame of mind. Once a person has the proper das, then they're able to do things properly. They'll be able to function properly. Then they could start go working properly and everything. They'll be able to have refoenu, health. The first starting point is to have das, not just intellect, but also to have a healthy frame of mind. And that's why we first daven for that, first and foremost. The Omer of Ami, Gedola Deyesh Nosna Ben Shte Osios. We see how important das is, that it was actually placed between the two names of Hashem, Shnemar Kil Deyos Hashem. So therefore, it shows the significance that if a person wishes to be able to have das, you have to be able to surround yourself with Hashem, or by having Hashem in your life, that is a way to be able to have a positive outlook of life. B'chol mi she'ein bo da'ya, a person is hard to understand what this sentence means. Anyone who does not have das, asul rachim alav, you're not allowed to have compassion on such a person. Shenemar, as it says, ki lo am bina isu, this is a person who does not have bina, which is an understanding. Al kein li rachmenu, also therefore I will show no compassion for this individual. It doesn't mean, obviously, a person, Rahman al-Tzlan, who is stricken with an illness, who can't control themselves. It's talking about a person who does have the capacity to do the right thing, and they choose to not think before they speak. They choose to just act on instinct without properly using the abilities and skills that they have. So if you don't use the skills that you have, how can I have rachmanis on you? By me having compassion on you, I'm enabling you. It's actually worse. It's better that you should hopefully become mature and own up to your own responsibilities and consequences than for me to have rachmim. That's why, asul rachmim alav. By having rachmim, you're not helping that person. Let that person grow up and mature and start using his das and start thinking before he does, and then become a mensch. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gadol Mikdash Shenasan Bein Shtei Yosiyos. We also see the importance of the Beis HaMikdash, how it's sandwiched between two of Hashem's names. Shnemar, Pato Hashem Mikdash Hashem, that Hashem has made the Mikdash of Hashem. So again, we see this concept of the importance of the Beis HaMikdash that Hashem is surrounding, which again could perhaps mean that just because you have this physical edifice, namely a temple, a Beis HaMikdash, does that necessarily mean Hashem Shechina resides in it? So Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, shows that Hashem surrounds himself, so to speak, by the Beit HaMikdash. And therefore, that's perhaps a message of it. And if you want to take a step ahead, as we just said, that Das is also similar to the Mikdash, so Hashem views the importance of our minds as though our minds are comparable to a mikdash, to a Beis HaMikdash. And I once heard, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was Rabbi Fran or someone, it was Neri Israel many years ago, that there's a story about Titus HaRasha. That Titus HaRasha is discussed in the Sefer Gittin about all the terrible things that he did, taking the vessel to the Beis HaMikdash. One of the things he did was he took a Sefer Torah, took a zona, his mezana on this, in the Beis HaMikdash. And I think it even says in the Kaddish of Adashim.
Right.
So, Rav Frand, I think it was, and if I'm quoting correctly, it was Rabbi Tendler, said that our minds, the minds of a Talmud Chacham, are comparable to a Beis HaMikdash. So someone who does not have, and obviously this is very difficult to be able to control our machshavos, that's something which we have to always work on, to improve on, but our minds are comparable to the Beit HaMikdash, to the Kaddish HaKadoshim. A person that has improper thoughts on some level could be held accountable as Titus HaRasha. And perhaps that's the message over here as well, that we're comparing Das to the Mikdash. That Hashem surrounds the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem surrounds Das. The two of them go hand in hand. Which is, that concept is quite frightening. The Omer Elazar, Kol Adam Sheish Voideya Ki'ilu Nivna Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, it stands to reason this next connection. Anyone who has das, it's as though you've built the Beis HaMikdash in your days, or you're building the bricks toward building the Beis HaMikdash. Whatever reason the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, by you having das, hopefully you are repairing the mistakes of the past. How do you know this? Because after all, Deinos de Men Shtei Yosios, first wide line, Mikdash Nos de Men Shtei Yosios. So since they were both placed between two names of Hashem, so they parallel one another. So Maskev Rav Acha, Karchino, he asked a question. El Miyafti, tell me, any time you find Hashem's name surrounding something, that must be a great thing. El Miyafti, until now, Gedoyel Nekama, Shinos de Ben Shtei Yosios. Nekama, which is revenge. And the Pasuk, the Pefer, says, there's an Isser of Nekama. You're not allowed to seek revenge. You're not allowed to bear a grudge. Yet the pasuk says Shenemar Kel Nekamos Hashem. So Kel Nekamos Hashem, Nekama is surrounded by God. So is that a good thing? So Amalei Gemara says in yeah, b'milsa miyagdoilhi, in its proper time. If you do Nekama, whatever Nekama means, it has to be, if it's done properly, then it's in fact a good thing. Behind the Amar Ula, Shtei Nekamos Halol Lama, what is the significance of these two mentionings of revenge? Achas L'Toy V'Achas L'Ra. One, it's for the, sometimes it's for the good, sometimes for the bad. L'Toy V'Dechsev Hoifim Mihar Paran. Hashem shine forth from Har Paran. L'Ra Dechsev Kel Nekamos Hashem Kel Nekamos Hoifia. So depending on how it's channeled, which with the message behind this is that any trait, any mida that we have, good or bad, really could be channeled for the good. That's the reason why we say in the Shema, B'chol Avavacha, is with Shtei Yitzrach, even your Yitzhahara. You can serve a Kodesh Baruch with your Yitzhahara. You can take whatever negative trait you have, as long as you know how to channel it in the proper positive direction, then that's something which is acceptable and, in fact, proper. And therefore, that's the goal that we must all accomplish. Okay. We're going to continue the next couple of lines. Rabbi Kiva Oimer... That's fine. No, I know. Rabbi Kiva Oimer. Amar Brach Ravias. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, as we just said, that there was a question exactly where Atachon and Chantanu should be placed. Should it be placed in... the paragraph of Atachonin Ladam Das, or should be placed in the Bracha Raviyas? Should it be a separate Bracha? Or is the last opinion of the Mishnah, should it be in Hodan Moedim? So the Gemara says like this, Armu Rav Shim Barabba Rav Yochanan, Michni, let's see. Ashi Ganesses of Hedayla, Tiknul Hem Yisrael, Brachos, Vetfilos, Kedushos, Vahavdalos. We didn't just make this stuff up. You have to be very careful not to deviate from the lashon or for exactly what the Chachamim instituted. They said a bracha, they instituted tefilos and kiddush and avdallah, so we have to do it exactly as it was done. So next, let's see. Heichan tikkun, how exactly were they misakin it? What did they do? So this we had before. Armle betchila kvua betfila. So initially, they had the havdalah service placed in Shemon Esrei, because people just couldn't afford wine. It was very expensive. Heshiru, once we became more affluent, we could afford a cup of wine, kavu al kois. They were misaking it on a cup. So anu, and then again, what happened? Chozva kavua betfila. As they became poor, they decided to reinstitute it in our tefila. And therefore, now we say it in both places, because the Chachamim, in fact, was sakin it in tefillah, and yet we're, Baruch Hashem, able to buy some kedem kal, or whatever it is, so now we could also make it ala kais. The Haim Amru, they said the following, Amabdu b'tefillah, sir shiabdu ala kais. The halach is that even if you made havdalah in your Shemon Esrei on Saturday night, you still have to make it ala kais. That's the halacha. So Idmar Nami Omar Avchia Barabba Omar Rav Yochanan Anshe Knesses Gedoyla Tikna Lehem Yisrael Brachos Tefilos Kedushos VaHavdalos Betchila Kvua Betfila. Initially, again, they established it in the Tefila. Okay, Shira Kvua Kos V'Chos V'Anu Kvua Betfila. So they reinstituted back into the Shemon Esrei. V'Hem Amru, and they said Hamad Deil Betfilos Ar Shavdal Kos. Okay, so that's basically what we said. So Itmar Nami, Rabba Rav Yosef Nitravayu, Hamavdil Batfila Sar Shavalokos. He says that, as we just established, even though you made Havdalah in the davening, you still have to make a separate Havdalah al Kois. Omer Rabba, Omer Zvinan Ashmaisen. And you can ask a question on this piece. Tavul Hisker Gavus Geshomim Bechias Mason. If you made a mistake and didn't say Mashavarach Menegeshem, or Rishel b'Brachas Hashanim, or Saint Talmud of Racha, Maskir, Machzir Noi. So you have to be Chayzi, you have to be Chaz, the Rosh, repeat the entire Shemunas, right? However, Havdal b'Chayin in the Das, in Machzir Noi, some Nei Shiyachol lo'amra al-Kayis. Interesting Lashon. The reason why you do not have to repeat the Shemunas, if you missed Havdal b'Chayin in the Das, because you could say it al-Kayis. Sounds like it's not an obligation. How could the Chachamim say that we instituted that you have to say it all kois? It's min shiachol. You're able to. No, that's not what the language means. Loi teima min shiachol amar al kos. Now min shiachol al kos. Remove the word yachol. It means that because you say it on a kos. It doesn't mean that you're not obligated to do it. It means since you have to do it anyway, so therefore it's better that you should have said it in the Shemoneh Esrei, but if you miss the Shemoneh Esrei, you have to say it al kos anyway. Itmar nami. We also learned similar to this. Amrav ben Yamin ben Yafes, Bar Yafes, Shel Rav Yosi as Rav Yochanan Besidon, the Armelor of Shimon ben Yaakov, the Mensur as Rav Yochanan, the Anash Shamas, and we heard the following. Hamad betfila sar shavel kois. Olo, what's the din? If you made Havdalah, do you have to make Havdalah al kois if you said it in Yishmasrei? So if you Armelor sar shavel kois, which is what we said before, you still have to make Havdalah al kois. Iboilu. Last your question. Hamadil kos. If you make Havdalah in a cup, Mao Shiavdil betfila. Interesting. What if you did it out of order? For whatever reason, you first made Havdalah on Al Hakos before you daven Shimon Esrei. Okay. So the question is, do you now in your Shimon Esrei have to say Atachod Antonu? So Amr Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kavl Chaimer Mitfila. I'll prove to you from a Kavl Chaimer, from Tfila, what the din is. Ma Tfila, the Ikr Tekantahi. Initially, as we established, the reason, the place where the Havdalah was initially inserted was in Shimon Esrei, was in Tfila. So that's the Ikr Tekantah. So if it was there originally, Amri, nonetheless, we said that Amavda B'tfila, even though you did it in the right place, Sar Shavdala Kos, you still have to make Havdalah on a cup of wine, which is not really the original Tekana. So Hamavdala Kos, a person made Havdalah only in a cup, the Lav Ikr Tekati, which is not the initial thing, Lokol Shekin, all the more so, most certainly a person will need to make Havdalah in their Shemoneh Esrei. So if for whatever reason you made Havdalah al Kos, you certainly will also have to make Havdalah thereafterwards in the...
I'm not sure the Ikr is the Tefillah. The reason they did it in the Tefillah is people couldn't afford to do it
al Kos. Okay, what did the words Ikr Tekanta mean? Okay, that's the question. I would like to say at the beginning of the Tekana, the initial enactment was Betfila, right? The word Ikr Tekanta is interesting language. Because, what is it? So what did we say? We said the reason why they're misaking it in that place, apparently, is because they were poor, right? Because then it says, Hashir, once they became wealthy, Kabbalah Kos. So it almost sounds like the Chachamim, with their sensitivity, initiated the Havdalah service in the Shemoneh Esrei, not because it's the Ikr Tekanta, as you're saying, but because of a practical problem. We just don't have wine. So it's interesting language of how to translate the words Ikr Tekanta, as opposed to that the initial, I would say maybe you have to loosely translate, the initial way it was misakin was al hakos. It was betfila. But it's a good question. The language is shtickel modna. Tani Rav Acha. Let's see just a couple more lines. Tani Rav Acha aricha kamei de Rav Chinna. Hamavda betfila. Person who made Havdalah already in the Shemoneh Esrei. Meshubach yois mishiyavda lekois. It's more praiseworthy to do it that way than to make Havdalah on a cup. Ve'im hivdil, this is shtickel, cryptic, this language. If you made Havdalah, bazu, in both cases, yenuchel brachos arosha, the bracha should be put on your head. It's all goof of kasha. This in itself is an apparent contradiction. Amrit, initially we said that Hamadu b'tfila, mishubach yais mishiyavdal kais. So it says that as long as you said in the Shemoneh Esrei, that's good. Al matfil chudasagi, that's plenty, it's fine. The other Tani, then afterwards it says, Im hivda bazubazu yanuchal brachos al rosho. You have to do both, and it's a blessing. Why is it a blessing? Givan did nafik le bechada. This in itself is a good kasha. If you already fulfilled your obligation by making it in the Shemoneh Esrei, after, so you're potter. Bahavi bracha shein estricha. We're going to get into this more next week. It's a bracha shein estricha. The whole Havdalah service doesn't make sense, because you already fulfilled your obligation. So how could you say brachos? How can you say baruch amad v'kodesh l'chol? Right? It's a bracha shein asricha. V'romir rav yitim reish lakish, v'romir rav yochan reish lakish, diyamar tevayhu, kol mavarach bracha shein asricha, is oiver mishum losisa. The pasuk says, losisa Hashem Hashem lakech l'shav. You're not to say Hashem's name for no reason. So what exactly is going on over here? So that in itself is a strong question. So how could we say, on one hand, that you're yotzei by making the bracha, or by saying Havdalah in the Shemoneh Esrei, and yet it's a meshubuch to say it also on the coast. It's a bracha shein asricha. El Eima, so this is what it means. And we'll just see the sentence, and next week we're going to build on this again. El Eima Hachi, say it this way. Im Hivdil Bezu, V'lo Hivdil Bezu, Yenuchu L'brachos Al Rosho. If you made it on this, and not on that one, then the bracha should be on your head. Which basically, what that's saying, maskana, which is a problem, is that you're not supposed to do both. Because otherwise it's a bracha shein asricha. Obviously we don't paskin like that. We're going to have to understand exactly how to understand this. But we'll see that next time.